Let me pray first, okay? Father, I thank you for this opportunity, this beautiful time of year, Emmanuel, God with us, to remind us of your Son, of what he's done on the cross for us, of how he came to earth as this little child in the manger. The whole Christmas story, Lord God, we thank you for that. We thank you that it's a factual of you entering into the realm of mankind. And we're very, very thankful for that. I ask today that I'd be able to, very simple message, but it's nuanced, so help me work my way through it. And I ask this in Christ's name. Amen. You know, over the years, I've had many conversations with people about their understanding of their relationship with God. There are some people who say they don't believe in God, and some insist that they always believed in God. Whether that God is the God that's revealed in the Bible, who sent his one and only Son, Jesus Christ, is sometimes not clear. The other evening, we were with a bunch of people. And this one in particular that I talked to claimed to be a child of God. You ever hear people say that? I'm a child of God. And their reason goes something to the effect that all of humanity are God's children. And I'm going to question that today before you. Okay? But many songs have been written that assume that we are all God's children. As I went on the internet and punched it in, I saw a few. Nothing against Alan Jackson. Actually, I like Alan Jackson. He sings great country songs. But he's got a song called "We Are All God's Children." It goes something like this. Here comes a Baptist. Here comes a Jew. There goes a Mormon and a Muslim too. Clever rhyming. I see a Buddhist and a Hindu. I see a Catholic and I see you. We're all God's children. We're all God's children. We're all God's children. Why can't we be one big happy family? I mean, that's not the best songwriting, I don't think, as far as lyrical content. There was another song called "We Are All God's Children," and it was the official theme of the apostolic visit of Pope Francis to the Philippines. Now, he should know better, right? Or else he just didn't want to say anything to this person. But it was written by Jamie Rivera, and it was accompanied by the Hail Mary, the Queen's Children's Choir. And I don't want to go into all the lyrics there, but it purported, I think, or is that the it brought forth the same idea. Remember the Kinks? You really got me? Was that the Kinks? You really got me now. Well, it was a British rock group for you that are more sanctified than I was growing up. It was formed in the 60s, but it also took a shot at declaring that we're all God's children. It says this, "The day we were born, we were all God's children, and they got no right to change us." Of course, this is British, you know, it's sort of the rebellion in the 60s. "Oh, we got to go back to the way the good Lord made us." Have you heard people say that too? The good Lord, you know. As they piously say, "Oh, the good Lord." You know. Any rate, "Oh, the good Lord made us all, and we are all his children, and they got no right to change us. Oh, we got to go back to the way the good Lord made us all." So a lot of people have taken a shot at this to try to bring forth this idea that we're all God's children. And, you know, sometimes when I'm talking to someone whose view is that we're all God's children, being the person that I am, when the Spirit leads and the circumstances seem favorable, I'll challenge the assumption. As unloving as that may seem to be, I may point out to them that my understanding, according to the Scriptures, is that God is our creator, but we are not his children until we accept his child. His son Jesus Christ's sacrifice on the cross for our sins. It is then and only then that we come into a familial relationship of his fatherhood over our lives. And I challenged somebody the other night with that. But there was another preacher sitting across from me, and I must have did it right because he said it was, you did a really good job. You didn't offend him or anything. But I asked him some questions related to that. So he got to be part, he got respected, he got to be part of the conversation. But listen to what the theologian J.I. Packer writes. The idea that all are children of God is not found in the Bible anywhere. Interesting. And it's true that we all are His children. That by birth, we all are His children. And I realize there's a certain brutality in making a statement like that. So I go to my wife Bethany's Christmas program the other night at the Christian Agape Christian Academy. And here in front of me are hundreds of children, mostly elementary age, singing about God and looking, I mean, close to angelic, all right? I mean, were these God's children, I asked myself? I mean, I didn't want to get up and say, hey, everybody, these are not God's children, by the way. Had they entered into that relationship? Well, since I don't know each and every one of them, I wondered how the parents viewed their children's status with God. If they bought into this idea that we're all God's children. And I hear Christians talk this way. It's not just people who don't know God. But I know from raising my own children, this question and responsibility and teach and model the truths of the gospel, they have eternal consequences. But I also know they must make Him Lord of their life. In other words, they must make this child the reason that they become God's child. And look, I know that no parent likes to look at their children as separated from God. Look at those cute angelic faces up there. Adorable kids. Although as they get older, they don't look as cute or as angelic. And behaviorally speaking, they prove themselves not to be. But nonetheless, I'm kind of getting down on myself. How can I look at these children and say that when one of the most outstanding attributes of God is that of love? Does this call into question God's care for mankind? How can it possibly be true that children are born into this world separated from actually being children of God? How can that be? I know as I brought forth this view to this guy that I was talking to, I'm saying to him in a loving way that he's mistaken and that his idea of this is not based on scriptural principles. It's not based on the Word of God. It may be based on feelings, whatever it is, and it can become abrasive. It can become explosive, and actually it could walk away and damage the relationship beyond repair. And I'm supposed to be representing this loving God to this man, or woman, or whoever it is. And most people recoil from the very thought of God not personally involved in caring for us, no matter how old we are. So what do we make of this? I mean, we come by this feeling naturally because as parents and as people in general, we have this innate sense of responsibility to love and nurture and care for each other, especially children. Especially those we brought into the world. Now, I say that because even though men and women are involved in the conception of children, it is only God who gives life. So He gives life, but He doesn't think of them as His children? I got your attention, don't I? I got your attention. So I ask myself, and now you today, what value is it for people to know that they are not children of God as a birthright? In the sense that they were related to their Creator as a father. That before an individual accepts God's child, Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, they are not, in fact, children of God. I mean, what do you want to be? The Grinch who stole Christmas? Well, for one thing, and if they don't know that, if that's not clear to them somehow, if they don't know that, they could go through life thinking they truly are His children, and as a result of this notion, go through life actually separated from God by their sins. And that's probably the most tragic part of it right there. They think they are, but they're not. They're sincerely sincere about this, but they're sincerely not right. The second thing, under the assumption that God is their father and they're under His care when they are not really become children of His, they could go through life angry or even hating God because of the bad things that have happened to them or others they love. Well, God's my father. How come all this stuff's happening bad? I'm His child. And they blame Him for the mess they're in or all of humanity's in. And thirdly, and it's close to the first one, but it's different. Because an individual assumes God is their father and is actively caring for them, they could miss out on a relationship with God the Father in many ways. One being the fact that it would be endowed with His Spirit. Read a whole book by some Canadian singer-songwriter. And in the end, I thought, maybe, I used to think he was a Christian, you know, quote unquote. But in the end, he just doesn't know what he believes. He thinks we all can tap in the Spirit. I'm like, I used to like this guy a lot more. I mean, I respect his musical talent. But this is the spirit of the age, that you can just tap into this. So they miss out on being endowed with God's Spirit and the privilege of prayer in His name. That's another big issue. Does God hear the prayers of the unsaved? Yes, He hears them when they cry out to Him for mercy, but they don't have that special relationship with Him as Father. That they ask the Father in His name. Again, J.I. Packer, I happened to tap into one quote of his and it led to another one, but being properly related to God as our Father is a tremendous blessing. And listen to what he says. To be right with God the judge is a great thing. In other words, to be saved is wonderful. But to be loved and cared for by God the Father is greater. Now you could quibble about that, but you get his point. That he's a father. Now saying that we're not born His children is not the same as saying that He does not love us. See, that's the turning point here. This is your turning point. Somebody has a radio ministry that... Does God love any of us any less? That's the question. Well, according to Jesus' words found in John 3:16, our Creator loves us greatly. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. God's love for mankind, even in their fallen state, is not restrained. He loves unrepentant sinners as much as believers. They're not necessarily His children, but He loves them. This is the beauty of this. In fact, He loved us before we even entered into the relationship with Him as sons and daughters. Romans 5:8. But God demonstrates His own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So there's no... Sorry. Am I talking really loud because I can't hear myself? I mean, my ears are really blocked. So there's no question of his love for mankind. But there are those who have not accepted his love or have put themselves into the correct posture of humility and repentance to receive that. We're made in his image. He wants to be our father, but there's something that separates us. So how, the question is, how does one become a child of God? Where he moves from Creator God to Father God in our lives personally. Well, the gift of becoming a son or daughter of his becomes ours, not through being born, but what? Being born again. John 1:12. All who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. There you go. He also writes in 1 John 3:1, how great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. And this is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that they do not know him. Dear friends, now we are children of God. You know, Scripture uses the idea of adoption to describe the new status as his children. We've been adopted into his family. That's interesting. Meaning that through faith in Christ, we're chosen and adopted legally as his very own. His blood paying the price. They're mine. They're not yours anymore, Satan. They're mine. They take on my name. I'm related to them by my blood. And no one's forcing me to do this. I chose them and I legally accept them as mine. It's a wonderful thing, this idea of adoption. We take on his name. That's what happens when you're adopted, right? You take on the name. We become endowed with his character found in Christ, and we become his children. We're his responsibility now. He's going to care for us and provide for us. Ephesians 1:5 brings this idea of adoption home. The Apostle Paul writes, having predestined us into the adoption of his children by Jesus Christ himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. No one had to force God to come and seek us. Nor was it done for any gain. He didn't do this for gain. He didn't do it because he might get something out of it. It was born out of his good pleasure. It was born out of his mercy and grace because he sees the creation that's made in his image going through so much turmoil because of sin in the world. He adopts us. I don't know how this relates for sure, but I was thinking about it. You know, Adam and Eve started out life fully grown. They had no earthly parents. It's an interesting thought to ponder. They were made by him, conceived and giving life by his creative hand. In other words, they were adults, if you will. They weren't children. They were full-grown adults at the time. And yet they were his children. But they had direct contact with him before the fall. And they lacked no good thing. What happened? Their disobedience led to their own harm and demise. What was that disobedience called? Sin. By this sin, they were wrenched from his family, from his fatherly care. Look, before we came to faith in Christ, we were under the power and judgment of sin. We are not God's children. We are his creation. But God always had a plan, didn't he? He always had a plan. In the triune God, Christ was always in the Godhead. Always. So there was always a plan. And you know, the potential for evil was always there when he made man, because he gave him a free will in the garden, right? So the potential was always there for evil, but man made it actual. Evil was the absence of something good that should be in a relationship between two things. We made it actual. He made it possible. He knew it was going to happen that way because Christ is in the eternal Godhead. But we take responsibility for that. You know, Isaiah 7:14 speaks of God coming to the earth as both God and man to adopt us as his children. Here's what it says. The virgin, prophetically speaking to Mary, will be with child, well, prophetically speaking of Mary, sorry, will be with child and will give birth to a son. Speaking of God's one and only son. And we'll call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. It's very important that God became man and yet remained fully God, so that he could live the life of humanity, offer his life on the cross for our sins. He's the only one in the whole universe who is uniquely qualified to bear our sins. His conception and birth in this world was an eye and heart opening event. That's what Isaiah 9:2 says. It tells us this. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. Children. Estranged children, at best. In Christ, the ignorance and sin that keeps us from God and become his children is expelled by the light of Christ. I was shedding light that evening. That's all I was trying to do, is shed light, which would dispel the darkness of the ignorance of not really knowing what the scriptures say. Isaiah goes on to say in verse 6 through 7, "For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given." Well, I think we read it this morning. Did we read Luke 2:11? I don't know if you did read it. Okay. It says, "Today in the town of David a Savior has been born. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloth and lying in a manger." Look it. It took the one and only child of God to make men and women children of his. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for today, Lord. I thank you for this message, Lord God, that needs to be said in a way that's winsome and loving, but nonetheless, there's many people who think they're children of God, and they're not. Help us to tell them how much they are loved, and that they can become his children. This holiday, this Christmas season. Wouldn't it be nice if we all were truly children of God? I pray that your Holy Spirit would work in our lives and in the midst of the world this Christmas season, Lord God. This time of Christ's birth. I pray this in Christ's name. Amen.